This is an interview with Sofia Carlos on Monday, 8th of April 2013, at her home in St. Peter's. The interviewer is Helen Haltis, and the interview is being conducted as part of the Greek Migrant Experience Oral Histories Project, an OIGA initiative. It is funded by the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program, Sharing Community Heritage Stories. Welcome, Sofia, and thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed today.
Thank you too.
Can we start with you giving us your full name, please?
My name is Sofia Pairidou Kalos. I was born in Platania, Kozani, Greece, 10th of January, 1936.
Thank you very much. Now, your family didn't always live in Kozani. Where were your parents from?
My parents were in Metallion Tavra, actually. My father was born in Ponto.
Okay, and your mum?
My mum also the same, near Argyroupoli, Cappadocia. They were both Ponti.
Now, Pontos is north of Turkey.
Yes.
And it's on the southern coast of the Black Sea.
Yes.
Which at the time was Greece, part
yes.
of Greece.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So do you know a little bit about your dad's history?
I do, actually. My dad was born 1907. Mm-hmm. He started school in 1914. And he also went to a secret school.
Secret school, yes.
Because the Turks won't allow them to speak the language. Also, they had to speak Turkish also. Mm-hmm. So that's why they went to a secret school. But sometimes the Turkish,
authorities,
they went to test the Greeks, how they're doing in Turkish language. So the teacher said to my dad, Bayridi, we're having visitors today, so you better learn
a little bit of Turkish?
Yes. And so they did. So when the Turks came, my dad was the one who started reading and speaking in
right,
Turkish.
Right.
So he was so enthusiastic, he patted them and said, good on you, you did very well. I never expected you to be so well spoken. And that was, he left nice and happy. But one of the people that were with the Turks, they said to them, something is going to happen and soon you'll be going back to your country.
He warned them.
He warned them. And my father, as young as he was, he thought about it and he started telling to his brother. And also, you know, it was getting aware of that, so something was going to happen, and he did, actually. Years to come. So, yeah, he was working here and there and to get some money,
of course.
Because he was an orphan, he didn't have a father. He had his mom, and it wasn't easy for them to get by. So he went to this particular factory, and they were making cigarettes. And actually was passing by there, and he saw that somebody throw the paper from the window, and he picked it up and he said, oh, I'm going to ask what's... So he went inside and he said to him, the factory man, he said to him, what do you want? He said, I want to work. He said, you're so young to work. He said, but I need to eat, he said to him. He was very gutsy, my dad, as a young age. So he said, okay, come in. And he gave him some paperwork. And he took those papers and selling them to other people. And he got some money.
Excellent.
And after that, he went to another place. And he said to him, I want to work because I have nothing to eat. It was terribly. It was going through a lot anyway. So he was selling chickens, eggs.
At a young age.
At a young age to make money. And the French people, they start buying eggs and the chicken. And one time they said to him, come in. And they gave him some meat to eat. And my father had his friend with him also. And his friend started to eat the meat, but my father didn't because it was Sarakosti.
Lent.
The Lent for Easter. The Frenchman got upset and he smacked my father. And he said to him, why don't you eat? You don't want me. And He said, no, I do. And then start crying for that because he got bashed. And he went outside, and this other guy said to him, what's wrong with you? He said to him that the Frenchman hit me. So he took him with him, and he went to the Frenchman. He said to him, why did you hit him? He said he didn't like me because I gave him a meat to eat, and he didn't want to eat it because he was...
because it was Lent?
Not only the land, but he thought he didn't like it because it was dirty or something
like
that.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, he said, because we have Easter now and it was the Lent, that's why he didn't want to eat the meat. And then he said, oh, I'm very sorry, he said to him. He did say sorry to him. He took him away and he gave him some extra money. And he said to him, you just have a good Easter, he said to him. Then my dad left.
Isn't that wonderful?
Like a dancing, and he went home and gave to his mum. That was it. But he never gave up. He was going from one place to another and to make money to look after his mum and himself.
He was a fighter.
Yeah, it was a survivor. It was very fight, yes, survivor. At a young age. So the years go by, and then 1922, that's when the trouble started. But my father was almost aware of that. It will come, the moment will come. So they decided, of course, to come to Greece. So the government, the Greek government, sent a boat to pick them up. So they gathered a few stuff, they locked the door.
They just took very few belongings.
So they locked the door and they looked for the last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and said goodbye to the country that they had grown up in.
That's right.
Now let's go back to the secret school. Now the secret school was organized so that the Greek children would not lose their language.
That's right. Yes.
So do you know if many Greek children went to these schools?
They did, actually. I know most of them. And the teacher was a Greek, which his granddaughter married my brother.
All right. So that was the only way they felt they could keep their language and their culture.
And the culture and the religion.
And their religion, of course, right. More importantly, the Greek Orthodox religion in a country which is predominantly Muslim. Mm-hmm. Growing up in that area, in an area like that, did your father tell you what was it like? What was his childhood like?
He was actually, he was quite a happy child, my dad. And he mentioned once to me that the old Turks were very nice to them. Only the young ones, when the war started, they were very vicious and started killing the Greeks, put them in jail, make them suffer, no food, no, a lot of them died from being smacked. Yes. And that was his childhood. But because he was, must have been adventurous, my dad, he wouldn't allow anything to go his way to give up. He even learned French. That's how he was taught in school, French.
So when he went to Greece, he could speak Turkish?
Turkish.
Greek?
Greek very well,
French,
of course.
Of course.
Because he was educated.
And French.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Wonderful. It is wonderful for that period of just after World War I.
Exactly.
Now, what about your mother's family?
My mother's family, where her grandfather was a priest, they had lots of animals, and they're working very hard themselves also. And my grandmother, which is Desmond, her mom, was a wealthy person. But when they left with nothing, except they put some gold coins. They were using gold coins those days. And they put it in the sole of their shoes. And they came to Greece. And they came to Thessaloniki, actually, because they were well off. My grandfather bought a house in Thessaloniki.
So they brought money with them.
Oh, yes, they did. I don't know how, but they did, actually. And they bought a house in Thessaloniki for the three girls to inherit after he passes. And also they had a brother, one brother, the three girls. So...
Okay, now... We're talking about the exchange of the population after World War I. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. part of the treaty mm-hmm. In 1922-23 when it was decided that the Turks that lived in Greece yes. were to go back to Turkey mm-hmm. and the Greeks that lived in the Turkish occupied area must go back to Greece. Yes. So your mother's family ended up in Thessaloniki mm-hmm. and your father's family went by ship, but they ended up in Piraeus. Originally. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they both ended up in Kozani, in the northern Greece, because that's where Greece wanted them to resettle, and that's where a lot of the Turks had left their homes.
That's right.
So what was happening was that the Greeks were going to live in the homes that the Turks left behind, and the Turks are going to live in the homes that the Greeks left behind in Turkey.
Probably.
So it was a exchange of population.
Exchange, yes, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Now, what can you tell us about your dad arriving in Piraeus?
When my father arrived in Piraeus, the next day they took another boat to go to Thessaloniki. Of course, on the way was they had a hard time, and the two Turks were on the boat they were traveling with as security, as I must say. I don't know why.
What, to make sure the Greeks got to Greece?
And some of the Greeks, they wanted to throw them in the sea so they can drown. Same thing though they did to others. And the Papanikolas was the name of the boat, capitani,
captain,
we call him.
Yes,
the captain. He said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. So they didn't, actually. So they arrived in Thessaloniki, and from there, they took a train to go to Kozani. From Kozani, they went to Neapolis, and then by foot, started to walk again.
What they've been through, eh?
They've been through a lot. They went to Platania. And when they arrived there, the government, I think, they said to them, to start choosing where they went to live.
Because the houses were vacant.
Yeah, vacant. And my yaya, my grandmother, saw this particular house, and she said to her son, the oldest son, Michali, you go and suss it out and have a look what is happening. Then he came back and says, Mom, it's only one room built at the moment. The other one, they haven't built it anymore. And she said, no, we want it. So they went and stayed there. But my yaya, in 10 days, passed away.
What a shame.
Yeah, it's a shame. Very sad. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't lucky enough to
enjoy the house.
Yeah, to enjoy the
house. So it was a new home.
It was a new home.
The Greek government had
built. Yeah, one in one room. But built by the Turks, I think, probably.
Oh, by the Turks.
Probably, yes. So when she died, my dad had to go and get a job for somewhere to be looked after by himself, because his brother was engaged to a priest's daughter and they took him away to their side.
Yes.
And anyway, my dad after was called to the army. He went to the army.
How old was your dad at this stage?
At this stage, he was about 19, I would say.
So he was drafted into the Greek
drafted,
army.
Yeah, the Greek army. And then after the army, when he came back, he engaged to my mum. Got engaged to my mum, because my mum was there too. They come back to that side. And then he had to get a job somewhere, so he was getting ready to get married. He had to establish his family. So he went away for quite a while in Thessaloniki to work in the railway stations. He didn't like it there because he wasn't getting more money, so he has to go to another factory. He didn't like it there either. He wanted more money. He came back. And he started working into Vogatsiko, looking after the land.
Oh, right.
As, I don't know how to say it in English. He was like not a policeman, but agricultural was looking after the land, the grapes and things. No one can steal things.
All right. Okay. Like a bit of security.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Like a security, yes. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he went to another town. And they offered him more money. So he took that, started working there, make some money. He started to build that house.
Extension.
Built another room upstairs and downstairs. So he made it two rooms to the house. But I don't know, I have to mention this. His brother took it away from him.
That doesn't matter. That's part of the...
So anyway, my father got married with my mum in 1929, 1930. 1932, my brother was born, Yanni. Mm-hmm. And in 1934, my other brother was born. But in the meantime, actually, my first brother was killed. An accident, terrible accident happened. And my grandfather was responsible for it. Not that he meant to, but he just got killed while he was sowing the land.
Oh, in the fields.
The fields. And the two cows ran. And my little brother was sitting under the shade of the tree. And
he got killed for
that. He was killed, yes. Mm-hmm. And then my brother was born in 1934. And then I was born after that in 1936. And that's when I started to tell my story.
Your
as
story
a
begins.
Young person of 4 years old.
Now, 1936, you were born just before the war. Mm-hmm. So during the war years, World War II in Greece, you were a little girl.
Yes,
growing
4 years,
up in
yes.
here. Can you remember much about your childhood during the war?
I do, actually. What I remember, the first thing that I remember when the door was knocked so heavily, we all were very alert, and then my father went to open it, and two policemen took my father away, and I started to sort of, I thought, oh, what's happening? And I started to cry. And then my mother quietly, she closed the door, came inside, and then my grandmother, she was praying to God. And I said, I remember what I said as a young little, I was a baby, 4 years old? And I said to my mom, actually 3 years old I was, 1939 was that one. And I said, what's happening? She said to me, you go and pray and go to sleep. So I went to sleep. And what I remember after that, when I wake up, nothing really, I didn't care actually. I was just a child playing around. In 1940, my dad went to war again.
So when you woke up, had your father been taken away?
Yes, he wasn't there.
It was taken
yes,
away.
He was taken away.
To take part in the war.
In the war. The war was between the Italians and in Albania he went. Anyway, so after how long? A year, I think, or 9 months, my dad came back home. And in 1940, the Germans, of course, they were involved in the war. They're coming through, passing through our little village.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you remember of
that? What I remember about this one was that they're passing through and they put on fire this haystack of my uncle's haystack, but no animals were killed or anything. The Germans were looking for food, chasing chickens around. And straight away I went, I was wearing a little apron that my mum made for me. I went to my garden, I picked up some cucumbers and tomatoes, and I went to offer them to them. The only thing that I saw was boots. They were so tall and I was so little. The only thing I remember was the big boots. And they took the cucumbers and the tomatoes, but they wanted the chickens. They started chasing the chickens. And anyway, so they caught some chickens, they took it with them, and they left. So after that, nothing happens. Of course, they didn't do any damages or that. And my father was the Greek army that started to retreat, and then he came home. So not long after that, the famine came.
Exactly, after World War II.
And people dying, not in my little village, but in Athens. They were coming all the way from Athens to our relatives, actually, came to our little village. And it was June, actually. That's the time where the wheat was almost ready to be picked. And they were killing, you won't believe, they were killing turtles to eat them, and the eggs of them, too. I remember that. I can see it now.
The Athenians that were coming.
Ooh, yes. And many different incidents. They were terrible. And people going from house to house asking for food. But of course, we didn't have that much enough for ourselves, so we had to give them whatever we had. And I remember I took a little bag myself, copying them. I went to somebody else's house to get some. And my mother said, "Ah, silly girl, what are you doing?" I said, "What are they doing?" So I wanted to do the same thing as a young kid.
Yes.
She said, "Don't do that." She said to me, you know. So I went back and started to play.
In the village, the people coped.
Yes.
Because you had your own produce.
Exactly.
It was the cities that really suffered.
Oh, yes, they did.
So after World War II, we had the depression, as it were. But then after that, did you feel safe? Did your family feel safe in your village?
Not for very long, though. Not for very long, because the civil war started. That was the worst one, because they used to come and take the young people away. What's the
children.
Word? Yenitsari. You know,
was
17, it? 16, 18 years old to fought. And some of them, they had brothers in the other side, which were policemen, and that were the communists, and you will fight to your own brother.
So we're talking about the guerrillas.
The guerrillas, yes. That was a terrible thing to happen. My father wasn't there at the time. He was in Castoria, and of course, he didn't want to come, otherwise I could have taken him away. So, yes, they come and take whatever we had, food, bread, anything we had. They had to take it. They used to sleep in our houses, the guerrillas. A lot of fleas they had. You're obliged to wash them, wash their clothes. My mother, for my mom, she had to do all that. So otherwise we wouldn't feel safe. They could smack you or kill you if you didn't do it as you told. But I was too young, so we were pretty safe. They wouldn't take us away. But the girls, they had to hide. 18, 19 girls.
Young girls.
Young girls, they had to hide. So we left our little village. We left the animals, everything. Again, we became refugees. I remember my mom said to me, I had a little goat, and I was looking after it, feed it, and she said to leave it. I said, "Why, mom?" She said, "Well, she's going to die anyway." She said, don't bring it with you. So I left it behind. I started to cry. That was my pet. So we left. We took what we had to take, our donkeys, horses, to help us out. So we went across the river to Vogatsiko, and that place was our safe place.
So it was another village?
It was a not village, bigger than the village.
A little town.
Of, I would say, 500,000 people.
So you felt safe in the bigger
town?
Very
safe, because there was the police station there. And then also it was away from the guerrillas, but they also come on that side, on the mountains.
Exactly.
And at night times, we weren't allowed to have the lights on. We have to put the curtains. And the war started, believe me, it was a horrible thing. I finished my school there, my primary school, and I was 12 when I finished that. And I went to this girls' school, I would say, technical school. We learned how to cook, and also how to
sew,
and many other things.
Domestic duties.
And yes, I stayed there for 3 years. But in the meantime, as a 12-year-old, we have to bury young men who were killed by the guerrillas and bury them. It was a horrible thing for that young age to go through. Suddenly I become an adult.
I grew up very fast.
You weren't allowed to cry a lot, because you have to get the flowers, you have to do this. You run from here to there. And anyway, so I stayed in that little school for 3 years. When I was 15, I left. I went to Thessaloniki to learn my dressmaking. I stayed there for about 3 years. And yes, I got my diploma. I came back home about 18 years old. And that's when we buried my grandmother, great-grandmother, actually.
Oh, your great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother. And my aunt from Athena, Thessaloniki, they came to Horio, to my little village. And they stayed there for a couple of days. So they left. And then the years go by. The immigration department from Australia wanted people to come to Australia. So quite a few people left. to Australia. One of them is my future husband, I would say. And that's when his mother actually was coming to our house, talking to my mom, and started saying that, how about if Sophia marries my son? Oh, my mom, I don't know what was her reaction, but she approached me, and I thought, hang on, this is not good. They approached me once before, this is the second time. And I said, no, I don't want to go to Australia because I've been away for so long, I will miss you a lot.
By this time, just interrupting you, by this time, when you left the Saloniki to go back home, where was home? Had your mother gone back to Kozani?
Yeah, that was in Platania.
Yeah. So after the safe haven, being away from the guerrillas, at the end of the civil war, mm-hmm. did your parents go back to their home? Were they able to go back?
Yes, right. they were.
So how long did they stay away in a safe place?
We stayed there for about, because I left though.
You left, yeah, but your parents stayed.
In 1950, they went back, I think.
They were able to go back safely.
Safely, because everything was quieting down.
Okay. It was the end of the war.
Yeah, end of the war. Everybody came home and...
So you went back to the original village?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
And that's when they approached me again. And I was back from Thessaloniki to the village. And I said to my mom, no, I'm not going anywhere, mom. And she said, think about your other two sisters. I said, what about them? She said, if you go to Australia, she said, you will help them. You'll help daddy, your father. And I thought, how do I help him? And she said, well, you can... either send money or you can take them with you or afterwards or whatever. And she was emotionally blackmailed. I was actually emotionally blackmailed. I said, okay. And I didn't give another thought of it. So I left for Kastoria because my younger sister was going to high school. So I went there, started doing some sewing and looking after her. We rented a little place in Kastoria. And my father was coming and going to check on us. And... in the meantime, I don't know if I have to say this, I was
entirely up to you.
Yeah, I was about 19 years old. I've met somebody, and well, must have been fatal attraction. Who knows what it was? And I approached my dad and I said to him, "I'm not going to Australia." He says, "Why?" I said, "I love somebody else's." I was pretty gutsy, just like him. I took after him. And he says to me, all right, wait, he says to me, wait, when I come back, I'm going to Athens, and I'm going to talk to your uncle. Oh, no,